Hello, I am Father Alejandro Puello. I am the pastor of St. Anne in North Little Rock, and this is my reflection for the first Sunday of Lent. As we begin our Lenten journey, we read from Matthew chapter 4, Jesus walking out to the desert, being led by the Spirit. And in this moment, these interactions that Jesus has with the devil, there are three truly important lessons about the spiritual life for daily spiritual battles. The first is that if you've been paying attention to your Bible, there are times when it's the devil tempting. There are times when God allows the devil to tempt. And then there are times when it says that God tests us. Now, the funny thing is that depending on how you look at it, you will notice that you could very easily interchange tempting and testing. And for good reason. In the original language that the gospel was written, in ancient Greek, the root word that we translate as testing and the root word that we translate as temptation are the same word. They're the same word. You could grab your Bible and everywhere you see temptation mentioned, you could exchange it with testing. Now, what determines if I'm being tested or if I'm being tempted? Right? When I get sick, when someone cuts me off in traffic, when I am frustrated with something that's going on in a relationship, what determines if this is a temptation or if this is a test? Now, we instinctively know the difference. The difference is what happens. What's the purpose of it? When you go to school and the teacher tests the students, the intention of the teacher is not to break their spirit, is not to catch them off guard, but rather to properly assess where they're at, where the students are at. And for the student that does good, it's a reinforcement of the work they've put in. Keep going, right? And for the student that does bad, it's a sign that there is something that needs to change. And if you don't have a very good disposition, it may even break you down and discourage you. So, pay attention to how this is presented to us in the gospel. It says, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And then the test happens. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." The reason that this is so important is because Jesus shows us the way. He shows us how to confront any obstacle, any test, any temptation. Okay. Who leads Jesus to the desert? It says the Spirit leads him to the desert, into the desert, where the devil is going to tempt him. But when the temptation comes, Jesus has already fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He's already prayed. Yes, he is hungry, which provides the circumstance for the test. But what determines whether it's a temptation or a testing, a test builds you up, a temptation breaks you down, is his disposition. It's his preparation. The same thing goes for us. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, your disposition, what attitude you come into the situation with, can determine whether this becomes a moment in which you cooperate with God's grace or where you reject it. we determine. Our disposition and preparation is what helps determine whether a circumstance, a thing that's happening, is a test that builds us up in relationship with God and in love and in faith and in the virtues, or breaks us down. It's really important, I think, to also understand that in the gospel, we're given a hint as to when one is a temptation and one is a testing. Even though they come from the same root word, when it's God doing it, when it's with the intention of good, of building you up, the word is always modified with a prefix. It's always modified with a prefix ek, out of. So that when God tests, the purpose, the intention of God is to bring you through it, not leave you in it. Bring you through it, not leave you in it. But when the devil tempts, it's just testing. He just wants you to stay there, broken, frustrated, in the thing, the circumstance. He doesn't want the problem to change. He doesn't want you to change. He just wants you to stay broken. God intends to, with any test, by cooperating with him, to build us up, to bring us out of the test to the other side. Now, that's the first lesson. The second is this. We see laid bare one of the truly important insights of daily spiritual battles. When the devil tempts Jesus, the first thing he does is he attacks his identity. If you are the Son of God. And then he presents him a false choice. Then command that these stones become loaves of bread. If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself off the roof of the temple. That's how it often works. When we deal with people that are dishonest or that are manipulative, that's also how they present to us, how they try to manipulate us, how they present to us false choices. If you are the Son of God, then do a thing a Son of God would not do. It's also how we try to manipulate the people that are trying to love us sometimes. If you loved me, you wouldn't have grounded me. If you loved me, you would give me what I want. Right? But there's another choice. There's an unspoken choice. There's a truly good and virtuous choice that we ignore. So pay attention. If you are the Son of God, then do what a Son of God would not do. Use your power to turn these stones into loaves of bread. Use your power for your own benefit. Well, that's not how God acts. That's not how a Son of God is supposed to act. We are called to use our power, our authority, our gifts for the benefit of others. Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights, no food. And now he's going to use the power that he has to benefit himself? It's a false choice. He opts for the choice that the devil does not give him, but that God always gives every Christian. He does nothing, just prays. He does nothing, just prays. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. He does nothing, just remembers the promises of God, the Word of God, and just prays. How often do we end up falling into sin, making the bigger mistake, proving, if you are the Son of God, do this thing that is not like a Son of God, that proves you're not acting like one? How often do we try to control the situation because we've fully bought into that's the only choice left? the most powerful thing we do as Christians is sometimes to realize that there are no good choices except surrendering and praying. This is not in my control. I will pray because there is nothing else left for me to do here. All the choices given to me except prayer lead me to sin. Lead me to reject by my actions, to prove by my actions something contrary to what I believe. This is where we often make the mistake of thinking that by sheer force of will we can change a situation, when in fact what we should be doing is recognizing it's out of our hands, and rather than making an active choice that is sinful, instead choosing to surrender and pray. Surrendering and prayer is where the Christian's true strength lies, because it puts it all back in the hands of God. The last lesson is this, and it's one that I wish more people really understood and more Christians really took to heart. The devil first tempts Jesus with proving his sonship by abusing his authority and his power, by using it for himself. Jesus says no. Then he brings him to the top of the temple and says, abuse the love that God has for you, that your Father has for you. Force his hand. Throw yourself off the roof. What does Jesus do? I don't have to do that. I do not have to put God to the test. He's already proven to me that he's good. He doesn't need to be tested. He's already evidently good. Why would I test his love for me? Great. But then he opts for a third attempt. He sees, okay, attacking his identity is not working. Let me see if I can entice him with enough worldly goods, with enough things of the world. And he takes him up to a very high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence, and he says, all these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. I'm going to translate into daily English Jesus' response to Satan. Get out of here. That's his response. Get out of here. First, you tempt me with food instead of bringing me food. You tempt me with misusing my power. Then I let you bring me to the top of the temple, and you can't even shove me off the roof. You have to try to convince me to throw myself off the roof. You're that weak. You're that powerless. And I'm supposed to believe that you can give me the kingdoms of the world? I'm supposed to believe that you can give me anything? Get out of here. The last lesson is this, folks. The devil is truly weak. His only power is to try to convince. He cannot make you do it. Because any temptation can become the very means by which God builds you up. If you're prepared and well-disposed. If you're prepared and well-disposed. This is why Lent is such a great time. Because it's the time of preparation and molding our inner attitudes to being disposed to cooperating with God. The enemy is truly weak. So if I leave it with anything, it's this. Be bold. Be bold in your love. Be bold in your charity. Be bold in your prayer. Be bold in your trust of God. Be bold in your trust of God. Be truly bold. Because any obstacle, any circumstance, any pain can be transformed from a temptation into simply a test that builds you up. From the thing that breaks you down to the thing that builds you up, that brings you closer to God. Because you and I are children of God. We see the choice that temptation never presents, the one that it wants us to ignore, that the enemy wants us to ignore. The Christian is not weak in surrender, but rather truly powerful. Truly powerful in the hands of the Almighty. And so, be bold. Know that the devil is weak, and that all temptations can become the very means by which God builds you up and brings you closer to his heart. Because in the end, you always have one last choice: to surrender and pray.